Hello, this is Dee with the Vermilion County News for November 26, 2018. We'll begin our readings today with the front page story entitled Distribution Program Brings Joy to Area Families by Carol Rem, Danville. When Sherry Askren accepted the Toys for Tots campaign chairmanship a couple years ago, she realized there were more children than just the ones in Danville who needed toys at Christmas time. When I took over 2 years ago, I found out we were only distributing toys in Danville, Askren, who also is president of the United Way of Danville area, said. We were supposed to be serving Warren and Vermilion counties in Indiana, too. The Covington, Indiana native said, I could see where people in Covington and other places in Indiana might not have the means to drive to Danville for the toy distribution. So, Askren expanded the toy distribution in 2016 to cover more territory and to help make Christmas a little brighter for hundreds more families in need. Reaching more than just Danville families meant Askren needed more toys and monetary donations for the annual Toys for Tots campaign sponsored by the Marine Corps League. Just in the last 2 years, community members and military organizations have stepped up to make sure every area family that signed up to receive toys and other items for their children and teens would have their needs fulfilled. Askren gave an example of when Veterans of Foreign Wars Post 728 members invited her to relocate the day-long toy drive, which happens annually in December, to the warmth of the nearby VFW post from the Chilly Days Hotel parking lot. Now in its third year at the VFW location at 8 Pine Street, the annual toy drive was renamed last year as the Tyler L. Wilson Memorial Toy Drive for Toys for Tots to honor Wilson, a 29-year-old Marine from Danville who struggled with PTSD. The toy drive, which is in conjunction with television station WCIA, will run from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. December 6th. This year, Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare Systems has become a partner in the Toys for Tots campaign and asked if a local military person, living or deceased, could be recognized during the toy drive, Askren. This year, we're doing it in honor of Marine Dave Hughes, who raises funds to train service dogs for veterans with PTSD, she said. Dave will be honored closer to 7 p.m. at the end of the toy drive. In addition to the annual toy drive, Toys for Tots boxes are in places at close to 150 businesses throughout Vermilion County and West Central Indiana, including all three Monocle's Pizza locations in Danville, Tilton, and Hoopston, and the Pilot Travel Center in Covington, Indiana, to accept donations of new toys and gently used stuffed animals and books. All of the toy collection boxes will remain out until December 11th. But toys aren't the only donations Askren is seeking. After listening to parents' concerns, Askren said she expanded the age range of individuals who could receive gifts from the Toys for Tots program to include teenagers. Including 18-year-olds, that was new with me, she said. Families told me how hard it was to see their older kids just sitting there while their younger siblings opened gifts. Although teenagers wouldn't be interested in toys, Askren created a list of gifts teens would love to receive: makeup kits, purses with headphones, craft kits, hair dryers and curling irons, and some of the teen girl items. Askren suggested, for the boys, watches, wallets, cologne sets, games, shaving kits, soccer balls, footballs, and basketballs would be appropriate. I would ask people who are considering making a donation to think about the really young kids, because we lost our Toys R Us donation, and about the older kids. The kids in the middle are well taken care of, she said. Askren said a name brand company will supply some of the teen girl makeup kits for this year's distribution. We have companies that have made agreements with the Toys for Tots Foundation to supply toys and other items, she said. In the past, there have been surprise donations. 2 years ago, Askren answered an email from the Lego Corporation inquiring whether the local Toys for Tots would like some Legos. As a result, 10 pallets containing 1,440 Lego sets worth a total of $100,000 were delivered in Danville. We also order brand name toys from a company and use money from the Toys for Tots Foundation to pay for the items, she said. Any cash donations we receive go to the foundation, but is used locally. Local businesses also help provide toys and other items, such as Meyer, that gives the local Toys for Tots $1,500 to spend at their store, and McLean Midwest, that is donating 2,000 bags of candy. With all the generous donations collected each year, Ashgren usually has been able to hold over some toys and other items, so she has some inventory to start out with for the following year's distribution. Last year, however, 400 more children needed toys than previous years. That, coupled with the loss of the Toys R Us donation, caused Ashgren to start this year's distribution with a deficit. We didn't have much left over last year, maybe 20 pieces, she said. We used to have 1,250 children in Danville receiving toys, but last year we ended up with 1,600 Danville kids. She said the number of Covington, Indiana children needing toys last year also doubled to 200 from 108 the previous year. A total of 2,029 kids received toys last year, compared with a total of 1,500 kids in 2015, she said. In addition to the Danville and Covington children, 40 Hoopston children, 30 Attica, Indiana children, and 50 Clinton, Indiana children all received toys and other items last year. School social workers in Hoopston, Covington, Indiana, and Clinton, Indiana, provide Ashgren with lists of families in need, while the Families United organization provides her with the names of Attica, Indiana families. The Danville Salvation Army signs up Danville families for the annual toy distribution. Lieutenant John Woodward said 379 Danville families signed up by the November 20 deadline to receive toys. It's about the same as last year, Woodward said. We had over 300 families sign up then as well. Toys and other items will be delivered to Attica, Indiana, and the Ernie Pyle School in Clinton, Indiana, to be picked up by families. Large toy distributions are planned at the Covington, Indiana Fire Station, St. James United Methodist Church in Danville, and the American Legion in Hoopston between December 13th and 19th. Ashgren said she knows the need is great among the area's cash-strapped families, and she hopes the Toys for Tots can make the holidays a little bit nicer for them. I'd like to think that people don't have to forego paying bills or rent to provide presents for Christmas, she said. The foundation always reminds us we're doing it for the kids, Ashgren added. We try to give the kids three things I would hate for a child to go without at Christmas. Our next article is entitled Toys for Tots Seeks Donations by Carol Rem. The Marine Corps League Toys for Tots program will accept applications through the end of November from Illinois and Indiana families wishing to receive toys and other items for their children through age 18. Although the sign-ups ended November 20th for Danville families who were interested in receiving toys, as well as a Christmas food basket from the Danville Salvation Army, two other sites are still taking applications for the Toys for Tots distribution. Hoopston registration. Apply at Hoopston area schools during regular school hours from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday, November 30th. Contact Amy Linares at 217-283-6664 for more information. That's 217-283-6664. If you're in Covington, Indiana, registration, apply at Community Action of Western Indiana during regular business hours Monday through Friday, November 30th. Contact Cindy Ricketts at Head Start or the Community Action Office at 765-793-4881 for more information. That's 765-793-4881. This year, the toy distribution events will take place in mid-December at three locations, Covington Fire Station in Covington, Indiana, the American Legion in Hoopston, and St. James United Methodist in Danville. The public is encouraged to drop off new toys and other items that teens up to 18 years old may enjoy at the upcoming second annual Tyler L. Wilson Memorial Toy Drive from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. December 6th at VFW Post 728, 8 Pine Street, Danville. In addition, boxes to receive toy donations are in place at more than 100 businesses throughout Vermilion County and Fountain and Warren counties in Indiana. To find the closest boxed location for toy donations, please go to www.danville-ill.toysfortots.org. Toy donations should be new and not gift wrapped. Gently used stuffed animals and books will be accepted. The donation boxes will remain out until December 11th. More information about the toy collection and donation boxes may be found on the Facebook page, Toys for Tots of the Danville Area. Monetary donations are also welcomed. The county markets in Danville and Tilton are selling paper trains for a donation of $1 or more. Our next article is entitled Quilters Make Christmas Stockings by Mary Wyckoff, Danville. Colorful stockings made by the Vermilion Valley Quilters will be a nice addition to this year at the Toys for Tots distribution. About 30 members of the group stitched almost 400 stockings, which were presented last week to representatives of the Marine Corps League Detachment 824. The Marine Corps League took over Toys for Tots from the Marine Corps Reserve. Accepting the stockings were Greg Alpers, Roy Huxhold, and Gary Riekenwald with the league, and Sherry M. Ashgren, Toys for Tots coordinator. "Tremendous," Alper said, summing up his reaction to the donation. "This adds a hometown feel to the giveaway," Riekenwald said. Ashgren, in her third year as coordinator, said more than 2,000 children received gifts last year. Rose Walker, president of the quilting group, said this was the first year that the group has made stockings. "We did it because our group wants to help promote Toys for Tots," she said. "It's one way of helping servicemen help others." McLean County donated candy to put into the stockings. Walker said the members chose their own fabrics, ranging from whimsical characters to beautiful scenes, and all used the same pattern. They started in September and worked into October. "It takes about 30 minutes to make one stocking," Walker said. The group enjoyed the project so much that they may continue it next year. Last year, the quilters made more than 225 colorful placemats for clients with CRIS, Healthy Aging Meals on Wheels program. The club does other projects as well, including quilts for veterans, blankets for Fair Hope Ministry, and baby blankets for the Women's Care Clinic and Women's Shelter. The Vermilion Valley Quilters meet at 9:30 a.m. the third Tuesday of each month at the Danville Public Library, first floor meeting room. Anyone interested in quilting, whether a beginner or expert, is welcome to join the group. Here's a bit of an editorial today called Shop Local This Season. The Christmas shopping season officially kicked off Friday, if not even a little before. Your shopping list is ready, your credit card is warmed up and ready to go. So about the only decision left is picking out where to spend your money. Buying locally not only saves time and the cost of gasoline, it can give a definite boost to the area's economy. Putting your dollars to work in local stores helps support local jobs. Those employees, in turn, pay local taxes. Even though no one likes paying taxes, those cents going to local sales taxes help support government services, and push the tax bill lower for all of us. Shopping locally also means consumers know who they are dealing with and often benefit from better customer service as a result. Don't see what you want on local shelves? Ask. Often local stores can put the item you want in your hands within a few days. Or they might even direct you to a competitor who they know carries the product for which you are searching. And they do all of that without compiling mounds of personal data that many online shopping sites do. Keeping local stores busy obviously helps keep them in business, and that creates a community where people want to live. That helps improve the area in many ways, such as housing, transportation, and even attracting more businesses. Those local businesses also play a vital role in supporting such things as arts organizations, youth sports, benefits to help neighbors in need, and many other worthwhile endeavors. Without the business from area residents, local stores can't continue to sponsor those kinds of activities. We still have more than 4 weeks before Christmas Day. Make it a point to buy from local merchants this season. You'll be able to put special gifts under the tree and support our community at the same time. Our next article is entitled Public Housing Fair Oaks. Meetings begin for moving residents. HUD approves raising of 57 obsolete units by Tracy Crane, Danville. Danville Housing Authority officials have already started meeting one-on-one with families in the 57 units of the Fair Oaks Public Housing Complex that will be demolished next year. Housing Authority Executive Director Jacqueline Vinson said no one will immediately be removed from their home in the complex, which has more than 300 units. "We're creating an individual relocation plan for each family," she said. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development recently approved the Local Housing Authority application, which was submitted in May, to raise 6 buildings at Fair Oaks. The buildings have been updated through the years, but the majority were originally built in the 1940s and 1950s. In seeking demolition approval from HUD, the Housing Authority had to prove the 6 structures are obsolete, taking into consideration their age and how they stand up to the city's current building code. Essentially, the apartment complexes are the same today, 2-story brick row houses, as they were when originally built. None have central air conditioning. Safety regulations like fire codes, requiring 2 points of escape from every room, prohibit residents from using a window cooling unit because most bedrooms have only 1 window. Housing Authority officials met with everyone living in the targeted units prior to submitting the application to HUD. Vinson said each family affected can choose to remain in public housing, which means they would be relocated to another unit as soon as one becomes available, or they can get a tenant protection voucher, which allows them to go anywhere in the United States private rental market where HUD vouchers are accepted. "They are not mandated to stay here," said Vinson, adding that tenants would have 120 days after receiving the voucher to move. When meeting with residents early this year, prior to applying for demolition, almost every tenant indicated they prefer a voucher to remaining in public housing. When demolition begins depends on how quickly the tenants are all relocated. The demo schedule won't come together until we have families moving out, Vincent said. But, she said, the hope is that all 6 buildings will be demolished by fall of 2019. Vincent said this demolition plan is important both for the residents and the community. "By strategically demolishing 6 buildings, we are going to make ourselves better able to invest our limited capital funds we receive into our remaining properties." Vinson added that there are long-term plans for more demolitions, which would have to again be approved by HUD. The Local Housing Authority Board approved a 5-year plan that includes another round of demolitions in 2021. And now we'll turn to our obituaries. The first is Howard M. Davis, 71, of Perrysville, Indiana, passed away at 10:40 a.m. Thursday, November 22, 2018, at VA Ileana Healthcare System, Danville. Funeral services will be at 12:30 p.m. Wednesday, November 28, 2018, at the VA Protestant Chapel, with Pastor Tracy Tallman officiating. Burial will be in Danville National Cemetery with military honors by American Legion Post 51 in Westville. Visitation will be from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Wednesday at the VA Protestant Chapel with honor guard and escort by the Patriot Guard. Memorials may be made to the American Legion Post 51 or the Patriot Guard. Rortfelt Funeral Services assisting the family. Evelyn Evie Ruth Hofer Martin, passed away on November 21, 2018, at Heritage Health in Hoopston. A celebration of Evelyn's life will be held at 1 p.m. on Saturday, December 1, 2018, at First Presbyterian Church in Hoopston, with Reverend Wade Miranda and Reverend Ann Schwartz officiating. Visitation will be at the church 2 hours prior to the service. Cremation rites have been entrusted to Anderson Funeral Home. The family would appreciate memorial gifts be given to First Presbyterian Church, Hoopston, Public Library, or Iroquois Memorial Hospice. Mary Faye Hansborough, 95, of Danville, passed away Wednesday, November 21, 2018. Visitation will be 10 a.m. noon Tuesday, November 27th, at Pape Family Funeral Home, 10 East William Street, Danville. Service will follow at noon at Pape's, with Pastor Ramey Gordon officiating. Burial will follow at Danville National Cemetery. Next, Margaret Peggy Jeanette Daniel Park, 100, died Wednesday, November 14, 2018, at IU Methodist Hospital, Indianapolis. Funeral services will be 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Saturday, November 24th, at Covington First Baptist Church, with Pastor Andy Harkle Road officiating. Visitation 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday at the church. Burial Mount Hope Cemetery. Memorials requested to Covington Christian School, with envelopes available at Shelby Funeral Home. Tommy Lee Tom Johnson, 82, of Vetersburg, Indiana, passed away at 6:38 p.m. Friday, November 23, 2018, at the Waters of Covington. Visitation will be held 4 to 8 p.m. Tuesday, November 27, 2018, at Dickerson Funeral Home, 303 North Main Street, Vetersburg, Indiana. In lieu of flowers, the family would prefer memorial contributions be given to the Alzheimer's Association or the Vetersburg United Methodist Church. Howard Davis, 71, of Perrysville, Indiana, died at 10:40 a.m. Thursday, November 22, 2018, at Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare System, Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortfelt Funeral Services, Tilton. Donna Gagnon, 70, of Rossville, died at 11:11 a.m. Wednesday, November 21, 2018, at Carl Hoopston Regional Health Center, Hoopston. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Anderson Funeral Home, Hoopston. Kenneth Bartlow, 80, of Danville, died at 3:28 a.m. Thursday, November 22, 2018, at Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare System, Danville. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Rortfett Funeral Services, Tilton. Connie Lou Nelson, 73, formerly of Potomac, passed away at 1:26 p.m. Thursday, November 22, 2018, at Accolade Healthcare of Paxton. A celebration of Connie's life will be at 11 a.m. Tuesday, November 27, 2018, at Blurton Funeral Home in Potomac, with Pastor Randy Holden officiating. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. Tuesday at the funeral home. She will be laid to rest following the services in Potomac Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the Alzheimer's Association. All right, and now we'll turn to another article entitled, VA Can Provide Specialized Care for Veterans. Ugh, it's actually here. Cold weather, shorter days, the stress of the holidays, and Republicans and Democrats and our whole broken, messed up political system, which doesn't help with the funky mood. Life stinks this time of year, right? Maybe that's why they put Thanksgiving in November. Yes, our political system's a mess, but remember Churchill quoting an unknown source. Democracy is the worst form of government, except for all those other forms. My point? Be thankful. Be thankful for our messed up system. It beats all the others. Be thankful for the cold and the gray. Otherwise, how could you appreciate spring and summer? Sure, the holidays can be stressful. But if you have family, even if your family has issues, and find one that doesn't, be thankful you have them. If you don't have them, be thankful you don't have to deal with family drama. There is always, in every circumstance, if you look for it, something to be thankful for. In VA, we're big these days on evidence-based practices, which, as the term implies, means using treatment approaches for which there is empirical evidence supporting their effectiveness. One evidence-based practice for increasing dopamine in the brain chemical associated with feelings of happiness and pleasure, is keeping a gratitude journal. The practice consists of keeping a small notebook beside your bed, and every night before retiring, writing down three things from the day that you're thankful for. I hope at least a few readers will at least try this practice. You might find it helpful. So again, what's so great about VA? Why should I be thankful for the VA? Certainly, and obviously, the quality of care and services we offer. As I've pointed out in the last couple of columns, citing published research, care in VA is at least as good, and in many cases better, than care in the private sector. But care and services can't be rendered without the people who do the rendering. Here are just a couple reasons that care at the Ileana Healthcare System is exceptional. Earlier this year, our facility underwent an annual workplace environment and privacy compliance assurance performance audit. The auditing team stated that our site was the best organized facility they have seen, and that our green environment management system is exceptional and the best ever seen. The auditor specified that D. Bankhead and Laurie Gerard were fabulous to work with. Good job, D. and Laurie. As most of us have, I'm sure, experienced, it's often the little details that make for great customer service. As a recent example, a veteran recently took the time to call in to express gratitude to one of our staff member, Jackie Rose. The veteran reported that Jackie stopped to help him with his tray in the cafeteria, as she could tell he was struggling. He said that he just couldn't believe someone would take the time to do so without him asking. Well done, Jackie. This month I've asked social worker Lindsay Milken, coordinator of our spinal cord injury disorders program, to brag a little on the great things her program is up to. Over to you, Lindsay. Veterans who have a spinal cord injury or disorder have access to a multidisciplinary system of care made up of staff that receive specialized training to meet the unique and complex needs of this population. The VA-SCI/D Care Network is set up as a hub and spoke system. The SCI/D hubs refers to the SCI specialty care centers that are located throughout the nation. There are currently 24 such hubs in the country. The spoke sites consist of the VA healthcare systems that provide SCI/D support care and coordinate healthcare needs with the hubs. Just like a wagon wheel, the hub is the center and the spokes feed into the hubs. The SCI/D hubs provide a multitude of specialty and consultative services to our vets and assist the spokes in coordinating care. Ileana Healthcare System is considered an SCI-D spoke site. Edward J. Hines VA Hospital in Chicago is the Ileana Hub Center. Ileana has an SCI/D team consisting of a provider, wound nurse, and social worker program coordinator. The Ileana SCI/D team has a clinic that meets two times per month. The team can see up to 9 patients per month and provides veterans with multidisciplinary care during each clinic appointment, which includes, but is not limited to, assessment of the skin wounds, bowel and bladder management, and psychosocial need. Currently, Ileana Healthcare System services about 100 SCI/D veterans. These veterans may require care in their home or assistance with managing bowel and bladder needs. If a veteran requires assistance with bowel or bladder care, a caregiver of their choosing could potentially be compensated for this service. The Hines Hub routinely admits our Ileana veterans to the units for services such as colonoscopy prep, bowel bladder training, IV antibiotics, or wound care. The VA system of care is unrivaled in the private sector. This article was by Jeff DeBoard, program manager for the Substance Abuse Rehab Program at VA Ileana Healthcare System, Danville. And that's all the time we have today. This has been Dee, reading the Vermilion County News for November 26, 2018. I hope you have a great day, and I look forward to reading with you again soon.